we go from the pandemic and the shutdown to the riots to the looting. What's God doing in the midst of this?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, welcome to The Line of Fire. It is June 1st. I'm kind of shocked that we're in the sixth month of 2020 already. For some, it may feel like time stood still with the shutdown and all of that. But for me, boy, it's unbelievable that we're here already. And it's even more unbelievable that America is being shaken in ways from different angles, one after another, in ways that we've never seen altogether in our history. This is a major time. It's a major time for the church to rise and shine in the midst of the chaos, in the midst of the crisis. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you, serving by God's grace as your voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity, as we always say, the society in chaos in a church all too often in compromise. Here's the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884 when you weigh in with your comments or questions. We're going to be talking about what's happening in America today. We're going to be coming at it from a number of different angles. And I just want to make an appeal to you. I'm not here to please anyone except the Lord. I'm here to serve you and please the Lord. I'm not here to impress anyone. Wow, I am compassionate. Oh, I have a heart for justice. Oh, I am the balanced one. I'm doing my best as a servant of the Lord to be honest, truthful, and to speak with a hearing ear, listening, learning, open heart to God and to people, and then to speak truth. All right, so I'm not trying to win the battle of who's most woke or whatever. I want to speak the truth as clearly as I can. And please listen to everything I have to say before coming to conclusions. Is that fair? Fair enough? All right. There's an article on National Review which says what many of us are thinking and feeling, namely this, that we understand the anger. We understand frustration. When I say we, I mean Americans across the board see the outrage over the killing of George Floyd, see the cumulative pain that's been rising for decades in the African-American community. Many get it on a certain level that didn't get it before. At the same time, violent looting, rioting is always, without exception, unjustified, wrong. And this is simply lawlessness. When you are burning down buildings, that is lawlessness. When you are assaulting people, that is lawlessness. When you are smashing windows, breaking into stores, and stealing things, that is lawlessness. There is no justification. There is nothing godly about this. There's nothing good about this. Peaceful protest, yes. And there are times in armed struggle where you fight against your oppressors. There are times for things like an American revolution against British oppression. And there are times when you're being invaded by a foreign army when you fight back. It's another thing when major government leaders say, we are standing with you and we want to see justice, and other leaders are saying, we recognize systemic issues that must be addressed, and then there are peaceful protests sending out a positive message and sharing pain and sharing concern and getting a message out to the nation. When all of that is taking place, there is no place for the violence. There is no place for the looting. There is no place for the rioting. There is no place for the vandalizing. There is no place for any of this. Zero. So, bottom line, when you look at some of the footage, when you look at buildings ablaze, fire departments, police buildings ablaze, and remember, the vast majority of the time, the people involved there are serving you. Since when is the fire department oppressing you? Since when is the fire department hurting you? Since when is the fire department killing you? You've got people risking their lives. Many of them volunteer to save your life, to save my life. Why burn down their building? Or police. I was reading an article on Town Hall about an ESPN commentator, and he had tweeted out as he saw one building on fire in one city protest, burn it down, burn the S down, burn it all down. And then a couple days later, some of the violent crowd made its way over to his neighbor. And he said, hey, we're a peaceful community. We're a gated community. You animals, get out of here. Oh, what happened? One day it's burn it down because that wasn't his community. That wasn't his small business. That wasn't where his family made their livelihood. That wasn't where his local police served. Now he's cheering the police for the police clearing the animals out. How things change. How the tide does turn. So, friends, let's step back and let's recognize that there are major things going on that need to be resisted that are destructive. And we do not want to play into them or give any place to them under any circumstances. At the same time, we want to refocus where we need to and take in what's actually happening and say, what can we do together as a nation to address corporate pain, corporate injustice? Let's be willing to ask the big questions. Now, over the last few days, I have posted three different major articles dealing with race issues here in America. One of them is up only on the stream. All the others are up on all of our other outlets, as well as, of course, on our website, AskDrBrown.org. But the first article I wrote said that white fragility has no place among those who are seeking justice. There's a best-selling book by Robin DiAngelo called White Fragility, and it addresses why whites are allegedly so fragile when it comes to talking about race. I'm not race. It's like, why can't we talk about it? So the whole point of my article was not to agree with the thesis of her book, which I've not yet studied. I'm familiar with some of it, but I haven't studied it. It's not to buy into things like critical race theory or intersectionality. It is certainly not to support a victim mentality, but it's to say this. If you really have a heart for justice, if you genuinely have a heart for justice, if you genuinely want to see equality for all Americans, what's there to be fragile about? Right, what? Here, if I'm a baseball player and I want to be the best baseball player possible and I want to be the best player for my team and the coach says, hey, I've been watching your swing and here's how we can fix it. It's like, okay, great. Let's fix it. Let's find out what the issues are. So let me read this to you because I put six questions in the article. It was entitled, "For Those Who Love Justice, White Fragility Can't Be an Issue." So here are the questions that I asked. Number one, do you want true equality for every American? Do you want true equality for every American? I would hope every one of you would say, yeah, absolutely, regardless of skin color, ethnicity, whatever. I hope we'd all say that. Number two, is justice a value that you affirm? I think that's a positive value, a good value in and of itself, justice. Number three, do you believe that ultimately there is one race, the human race, right? That's number three. Number four, do you reject the idea that people of color are inherently inferior? I hope everyone say, yeah, we reject that idea. Number five, do you reject any form of apartheid or segregation? I would hope there too, the answer is, yeah, of course, absolutely. And then number six, If you consider yourself a follower of Jesus, do you agree that the spirit of racism is contrary to the spirit of the gospel? And I would hope every one of you that's a follower of Jesus would say yes. So here's the deal then. Why be fragile? If racism in any way is enshrined in our history, in our laws, and well, let's fix it if that's the case. And if not, no problem. If racism has a history in America, say it was enshrined in our earliest history on any level, I wasn't there when it happened. I participate in that. My mother came over from England basically as an orphan. My father's parents came over from Russia, basically fleeing from anti-Semitism in Russia, starting a new life here in America. So they came as immigrants and had to work their way up in the culture and all that. So if there are things in our past that are bad, we'll fix them. And let's celebrate the good. We're not a perfect country. What country's perfect? Here, the children of Israel, handpicked by God through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and given his laws directly, and with holy prophets in their midst, they messed up all the time. Why do we think America's going to be perfect? So if there's wonderful stuff in our history, great stuff, beautiful stuff, and bad stuff. And if any of it still goes on, so we fix it. And then we take everything on a case-by-case basis. For example, many of us could not buy into the hands-up, don't-shoot narrative with my namesake, Michael Brown in Ferguson. And even the Department of Justice under Eric Holder, they did an extensive investigation of the Ferguson Police Department and came out with a scathing report of inequality, a scathing report about Ferguson. But they said there's no evidence that would indict Darren Wilson, the officer who shot Michael Brown, that everything they could find and everyone else that looked into it in official investigations found that he acted when he felt was legitimate self-defense. So you take everything on a case-by-case basis and evaluate it. But the point is, let's be humble. If there's a problem, let's fix it. If I'm part of the problem, show me, because I don't want to be part of the problem. If you're a part of the problem, I'll show you. And let's help each other, because don't we want the same goals overall? So let's be secure in the Lord, secure in our relationship with one another, and then put issues on the table where they're valid. We address them and not, we move on. I don't walk around feeling guilt. I said, I don't feel guilt that I'm white. No, I thank the Lord that I'm his child. And as his child, I want to do good. I want to do right. Don't you? Doesn't that reflect your heart? All right, we'll be right back. Shake the nation.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Here is the number to call, friends, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. If you are blessed by the content that we share, help buy it, three things you could do. Share it with a friend. Let them know about the broadcast. However you listen, however you watch, share it with them. Second thing, pray for us. Pray for God's blessing, God's grace, God's anointing, so we could do everything we're doing with even greater efficiency, greater clarity, and help more people. We know that we're here for such a time as this. And then three, if you're able, if you feel prompted, stand with us in financial support. You can do that by going to AskDrBrown.org. Click on Donate, one-time gift, or you can become a monthly torchbearer. We pour back into in many, many different ways. So thank you for standing with us, and thank you for the many kind words of encouragement that you send our way. Okay. Wrote an article that posted last night entitled Hope for Black Americans. And the reason I wrote it was to say, look, there has been frustration at different times. The death of Eric Garner in New York City at the hands of police, and charges don't come. How can that be? And just a laundry list of people. And now most recently, there is the Ahmaud Arbery. And then after that, George Floyd. And it seemed that the Arbery one got a lot of people's attention. And then after that, George Floyd. It's like, okay, people are waking up. Now, I understand that you can go through all kinds of statistical analyses and you can show that there is police brutality here, police brutality there, and it's white on white, or it's black on white, it's white on black, and it's, and all the different ones. But bottom line, you have to trust what enough people who love the Lord or are people of conscience and integrity tell you the same story, that they've had the same bad experience, right? That you have to take it seriously, and then that pain comes bursting forward with a horrific, agonizing situation like the killing of George Floyd. So I wrote this article to say, hey, look, people, more and more people are getting it. Again, I'm not trying to impress you with being, Mike Brown is so care. Nonsense, okay? I'm simply, with my voice, with my position, on radio, on internet, writing articles, trying to do what's right before the Lord and honor him and speak up and use my voice for good purposes, okay? You're virtue self. I don't even know what virtue signal is. I got to look up some of these terms. I get accused of virtue signaling the other day. It's like, what was that virtue signal? How was this virtue signaling? And then I'm interacting with somebody else and you're gaslighting me. It's like, what is gaslighting? Anyway, I'm just speaking from my heart. You analyze it however you want, all right? But I felt it was important for my black brothers and sisters to know that with these recent killings, in particular, the agonizing video with George Floyd, as well as the horrific video with Ahmaud Arbery, that more and more people are becoming sensitive to issues and are, quote, getting it, are willing to ask bigger questions. So, for example, and look, I am a pro-police person. I'm pro-law enforcement. I appreciate what police do. I realize that the bad apples are greatly outnumbered by the good apples. I understand that, okay? At the same time, I've recognized the issues. One of my friends is a white pastor. So he and his wife, white couple with their own kids, then they adopted a black kid. And he said he was outraged. He said, you have no idea how unequal the treatment is he gets. You have no idea the discrimination he's faced, especially being raised in a white family, in school and different things like that. He said, it's outrageous. I believe him. But look, there's reason for hope. Let me just share some voices with you who have been speaking up. My friend Pastor Robert Morris, pastor of Gateway Church in Grapevine, Texas, one of the biggest churches in America. He said, our hearts are broken by the racial injustice in our country. God did not create a racial divide. He created diversity. We have a problem with racism in our country. Racism is evil. Racism is pure self-righteousness. Racism questions God's creation, and racism defies God. It's time for all of us to stand up and declare that racism is evil. So says a white pastor in Texas. Now, obviously, we don't know exactly what was in the mind of the police officer who killed George Floyd. We don't know what was in his mind. Maybe there was some other issue. They had worked together, we understand. Maybe he had it in for him. Maybe race wasn't the issue, but race is certainly the issue in many other cases, and this is what this is standing for. Franklin Graham posted this, among many other posts. This makes me sick to my stomach. What took place Monday on a Minneapolis street by the Minneapolis Police Department should deeply concern each and every American. Both of these tweets were on May 27th, so a few days ago. It's inexcusable to watch a police officer kill an unarmed black man with no concern on his face, his hand in his pocket, indifferent to the bystanders, begging for something to be done to help the man is so disturbing. And he's had quite a few posts as well. President Trump immediately called for the FBI and the Department of Justice to look into Floyd's death. Immediately. That's the president. Immediately. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, while he was urging the rioters and the looters to stand down, and of course President Trump spoken out against the rioters and looters, he said it is time to rebuild the city, rebuild our justice system, and rebuild the relationship between law enforcement and those they're charged to protect. George Floyd's death should lead to justice and systemic change, not more death and destruction. There he speaks about systemic change. So people are speaking in these terms. That should give you hope if you feel like no one ever cares or the system never changes. Okay? Dan Bongino, if I'm pronouncing his last name correctly, strong conservative, strong Trump supporter, Fox News guy, former Secret Service agent, ex-New York police department officer. He called the video disturbing. He said it's really, really tough to watch. He was wondering why the officer hadn't been arrested yet. This is before he was arrested. Laura Ingraham, Fox News, right? Right-wing, conservative, also spoke out about, quote, the outrageous behavior of the police officers. The New York Times even wrote that for those on the right whose usual instinct is to stand up for law enforcement, the stark video showing Mr. Floyd being fatally pinned by a police officer raises conflicting feelings about the incident. So, friends, this is the time to seize that momentum. And the looting and the rioting only distracts from it. I wrote this article, which went live today, four reasons the riots do far more harm than good. And the first is that they come at a time when more and more Americans were willing to talk about apparent racial injustice. So black rapper podcaster Zuby tweeted this: the USA temporarily had a moment where virtually all Americans were united in empathy and sympathy over the pointless, awful killing of a fellow citizen. People of all colors and all political stripes unanimous on an issue of clear injustice. That's extremely rare. Exactly. Then he says, now this unity and sympathy has been divided, diluted, and misdirected as people fight on the streets, steal from their neighbors, and torch their own communities. It's blanking sad to see. I'll say it again. Some people thrive on division and anger. They don't want solutions. Just reading about black firemen saved for years, built up his business, and bought himself a bar. Well, obviously, I'm not into someone having a bar, but that's his business. That's he's going to have livelihood outside of being a firefighter. That gets burned down. And then you get some folks in some parts of the cities and not properly insured. And how do they rebuild? How does this honor George Floyd? How does this promote justice? Second reason that the protests do far more harm than good. The riots paint a negative picture of black Americans as if this is what they do. You said, well, there's all kinds of people involved in riots. I know, but who's going to get blamed more? And who's going to be looked at as the main protagonists in this and the main instigators in this? It's going to be black Americans. They're going to be blamed. Even though you got bad apples who are white and who are Hispanic and other groups along with blacks, and they are the bad apples. They are the minority. They're going to be the ones that look like the bad guys. Scott Lively, conservative activist and always with a strong opinion, actually wrote this. He said that he contends that the purpose of Black Lives Matter rioting is to increase racism to justify the Marxist race war narrative. And he laments that too many conservatives and constitutionalists fall into the trap of lumping the innocent majority of black Americans with the trained thugs of the BLM and the useful idiots who run with them. Now, you may reject his overall thesis, but the point is this produces more racism. This makes things look bad for everybody. Then third, the riots are destructive in their very nature, appealing to our worst instincts. It is chaos. It is anarchy. It is lawlessness. One of my black friends, historian with a strong social conscience, said to me, anything that comes to steal and kill and destroy is the enemy, meaning Satan, with reference to John 10:10. Someone said to me, hey, look, didn't Jesus cleanse the temple with a whip? I said, yeah, he acted in perfect harmony with the Lord. We often do not. And he didn't kill anyone. He didn't set the temple on fire. He didn't destroy businesses of honest, hardworking people. Lastly, number four, why these riots, the looting, do more harm than good, far more harm than good. There appears to be strong evidence that the riots are being aided and abetted by bad players. Attorney General Barr has said there are others involved. I'm hearing from reliable people. Pastor Jim Garlow in California saying a friend of his, black, was in the Minneapolis airport. He said it was full of people today being flown in to create havoc. There's evidence of pallets of bricks being dropped off on street corners and so on. And then Minneapolis Attorney General Keith Ellison, a black American liberal Democrat Muslim, said other players are involved in this. Friends, step away from the craziness, the violence, the looting, the anarchy, and let us step back to the outrage over the death of George Floyd and the larger issues and holes exposed in our system. And let's work together for justice. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us on The Line of Fire in the midst of very momentous times. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. A little bit later in the broadcast, I want to talk about how we can seize the moment as the church and what I believe God wants to do in the midst of this upheaval. I'd love to hear from all of you, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I'm going to go to the phones shortly. What happened to the virus? What happened to COVID-19? What happened to the shutdown, the lockdown, social distancing? What happened? You know, Supreme Court made a decision, very bad decision. Chief Justice Roberts sided with the liberal justices and stood with Governor Gavin Newsom in terms of continuing to shut down church meetings, saying a maximum of 100 people. So you have a church of 10,000 or 20,000, maximum of 100 people. What? Come on. And I tweeted this out and then we turned it into a meme. So want to go to church service? No. Got to stay home. Want to open up your business, reopen your business so you can pay your bills and care for your family? Nope. Got to stay home. Want to go out and riot, loot, tear down the city? Have at it. Go for it. What's going on? And this raises all kinds of other questions. Namely, have we overreacted to the virus? Again, I don't downplay its deadliness. Right now, a friend of ours, probably in his 40s, is hospitalized. And we've lost friends to this. I'm not downplaying its deadliness, but have we overreacted to it? That's one thing. If not, then suddenly, in city after city all of America, with so many people in close proximity to each other, I don't care if someone had masks on or not, I mean, with so many people in such close proximity to each other and with hugging and other stuff, then this suddenly could undo everything that the lockdown did. And it could be spreading like crazy around America again. It's just, what in the world happened? And who could have imagined this scenario at the start of this year? The impeachment of the president, the third time in American history. Massive news, giant news. The country terribly divided. And the president acquitted. Who even remembers that? That's like ancient. Who even remembers that? Then, the pandemic. Now, reportedly over 100,000 Americans dead because of COVID-19. And with it, the shutdown. And with it, the economic meltdown, downturn. Seattle Times said, you know, we had pandemic in the past that killed more people. And we've had economic crises like the Great Depression and Great Recession. And we've had that before. And we've had riots in the cities. If you remember, for example, if you're old enough, when Dr. King was killed in 68, when he was assassinated, riots all over American cities. And then the Rodney King riots that broke out. We've had that. We've never had it all together, though, at one time. What in the world? So now the virus, the economic downturn, that's almost in the rearview mirror because of the riots and the White House under attack and This is unprecedented on this level with everything happening like this together. Talk about America being shaken. And let me say it right now. This is the time for the church to rise. This is a great time for us to separate from mainly being associated with I'm for Trump or I'm against Trump. Mainly being associated with a political party or political cause. Mainly being associated even with our stand about certain issues, be it gay activism or other things like that. Now is the time for us to say to the world, we have the solution. We have the answer. Jesus. Jesus who makes us one. Jesus through whom we overcome differences. Jesus who calms our fears, who sets the captives free, who brings us forgiveness, who brings us eternal life. So even if we die, we live on. This is the moment for a great harvest. And the deep burden of my heart is for an army of evangelists to rise up all over America. I mean, people that preach Jesus, people that know the Lord, people full of the Spirit, people grounded in the Word, people full of love, to share the gospel in city after city, in venue after venue, and for an evangelistic spirit to rise up in the church. Once you start sharing the gospel with others and they start opening up and receiving the message, it just spreads and it takes over. This is a time of harvest, the time for the church to rise. Times of great shaking can be great times of gospel advance because people are asking deeper questions and people are recognizing that something is terribly wrong. We come with the answer, an eternal answer that works in every culture, every setting, every situation. Now is the time. 866-34-TRUTH. I was going to finish that later in the show, but got it out now. All right. Let's go to the phones. We start in Maryland with Alex. Thank you for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello. I am wondering if listening to music with elements of sin is in it, is that a sin?
Alex, thank you for calling. My bad. I thought you were referring to our current situation, which is why I wanted to get right to your call. But this is a matter for you to judge between you and God. For example, you might listen to music by a famous composer and find out that he was an anti-Semite. Can you still enjoy the music or do you trash it? Or you might really enjoy a particular lyric by a particular singer only to find out that they are like strong pro-Planned Parenthood supporters. Can you still listen? Or there may be something a little off color in the lyrics, and you think, oh, now that I realize what they're singing, I don't feel good about that. Just to ask yourself what you would do if Jesus was sitting next to you and you're having fellowship, and would you flip it on and listen? I guess that's the simplest thing to ask, right? But thank you for the call. I appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. We go to Destiny in Chicago. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire. What's on your mind?
Yes, sir. I wanted to call about the issue of police brutality and the church's kind of response to it.
Mm-hmm. Please.
So I'm Black. You know, I'm a Christian. And I'm not going to lie, it's been really hard, like, kind of seeing what's happened with Floyd, and not just with Floyd, but with all the people lining up to him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, around the time a few years ago, I didn't really even know about police brutality a lot. It wasn't until a few years ago when I started seeing things more, and then I did a lot of research, and I was very overwhelmed. All that just to say, I think that some people just need to know that some people in the Black church community are hurting, and it's just a good idea to be sensitive to that, you know,
yes.
Even if they don't agree with everything. It's just good to be sensitive. Some people don't seem to have any sensitivity whatsoever. And I've heard so many people with the Floyd case, people saying, we need all the facts. We need all the facts. And the officer has his knee on the guy's neck, you know,
right,
during the whole video. I'm trying to figure out what else we need to know.
Right.
And all that just to say, too, I think there's so much hidden history that this country has covered up. I think one of the reasons why there's a divide in how we're responding to this is because there's so much hidden history.
Mm-hmm.
For example, I'll just give a quick example. There was a Black thriving community called in Wilmington, North Carolina, very long time ago, early in this country's history. And a lot of people were getting jealous that these Black people were so financially successful, and they were entering into political offices in the Republican Party. And so the whole entire place was just completely destroyed and demolished. And one of the main ways they did that was they made Black men in particular look like criminals and look like rapists. And so that was the catalyst for people being complicit and the place being torn down. So I think that's just a quick example of how people need to understand mm-hmm. the history of how the media has been used against people so they can be complicit. And I think that's what's going on. Yeah.
Yeah, can I ask you a question, Destiny? Were you able to listen to the show today from the beginning?
I was listening to it. Yeah, maybe okay, like so, I came in 5 minutes in.
Yeah, so when I was talking about the article I wrote on There Can Be No Place for White Fragility If You Want Justice, and I said, hey, let's put the questions on the table. If we've got bad things in our history, let's acknowledge it. America's not perfect. It's been a great country and with some real bad history in it. And, you know, the question of make America great again, what does that mean to a white American? What does that mean to a black American? These are questions we have to talk about. So I want you to be brutally honest with me, Destiny, all right?
Yeah.
As I said, I'm not trying to prove anything. I'm not trying to be, you know, look at how woke I am or whatever. But do you feel that I'm providing a sympathetic ear and a voice to say, hey, we know you're hurting and that hurts us as well? Or do you feel that I'm missing things or being insensitive?
I think you're doing a great job, Dr. Brown, at offering a sympathetic ear. And I was excited because I knew that you're covering this topic. And it feels good, just like on a spiritual level, to know that, you know, I have a brother that cares. You know what I mean?
You do. You have a brother that cares. And I do care. Look, because I've worked around the world in so many cultures, you know, you see America a little differently. Strengths and weaknesses a little bit more. And I've got so many black Christian friends over the years that have helped educate me. I remember, Destiny, and I put this in one of my articles, a call that I got, a black caller who was in basically just in about an all-white church. And he said what you said right at the beginning. It's in one of my articles from over the weekend. He said that it was one of the killings, I forget which one, but one of these similar to George Floyd. Now with cell phones, a lot more people are seeing things that you may have seen before. And he said, look, I don't expect the pastor to make a big fuss about this or to preach a whole sermon on it. He said, but there was not even a syllable. He said, here we are. We're in pain. Our community's in pain. There was not even a syllable. So, Destiny, a lot of people just are ignorant. They don't know. Let's keep educating. Let's face the facts. Some of them make us very uncomfortable. But let's do it. We need to, especially as brothers and sisters. This is a Jesus issue. This is a gospel issue. Thank you so much for the call. I really appreciate it.
Modern day.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. We go back to the phones in L.A. Julie, welcome to the Line of Fire. Oh, Louisiana, I'm sorry. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
No. From Los Angeles.
Los Angeles. All right. Go ahead. Yeah.
So I just wanted to comment. First of all, thank you for having me. I'm enjoying your book, Not Afraid of the Antichrist. I just got it, and I'm just loving it.
Great.
So I just wanted to... my call is because I am in the thick of Los Angeles and everything that's been going on, especially last night and the night before. Question comes at a standpoint where, so given everything that's happening, and I know there's a lot of pre-trib talk and a lot of mid-trib talk and a lot of post-trib talk, and you have a lot of pre-tribbers that are pretty much at this point saying, yep, this is it, guys, this is the unrest that's been talking about the Bible, and many are already actually expecting, you know, the rapture at any moment. Of course, I'm reading your book, and I've come to my own conclusions about that, but I just, you know, again, I feel like, yes, this is a time for Jesus to just pretty much shine, and we as a church need to rise up. However, I'm just kind of conflicted because you see everything that's going on globally and then nationally, and you kind of wonder, well, you know, are they onto something here? Or I just wanted your perspective.
Yeah, so number one, here we are right now. We haven't been raptured. Here we are, right? And George Floyd wasn't raptured. and people that have been killed in the riots weren't raptured. And the Nigerian Christians who've been butchered in recent days weren't raptured. And all the people or soldiers that died in Afghanistan weren't raptured. And someone that died an agonizing death of cancer wasn't raptured. All that to say, we're here in a fallen, hurting, messed up world. What are we going to do about it? You have to understand, I'm 65 now. I mean, it feels funny to say it because I feel like a kid. But I'm 65. So when I got saved in 71, it was over then. Jesus was coming at any minute. We had already lived through the 60s. That was the final apostasy, okay? You know, we had the riots with the death of Dr. Hey, look, 63, Kennedy assassinated. 68, right. Robert Kennedy assassinated. Martin Luther King assassinated. The cultural upheaval. The massive shaking. This is it, the final apostasy. That sounds like a child there. The Six-Day War in 1967, Jerusalem back in Jewish hands. This is it. It's over. He's coming any second. That was almost 50 years ago. We're still here. Hey, what was more tumultuous for Europe, COVID-19 or World War II? I mean, we could go on and on. And through history, when you have plagues wiping out large percentages of the population— And we and weren't taken out yet. So honestly, Julie, I don't feel we're anywhere close to the final shaking. I don't think we're anywhere close to it. Now, if everything keeps going like this and doesn't let up, followed by one plague after another and pestilence after another and natural disaster after another and all kinds of upheaval and wars, then that'll get my attention. There's still over 2 billion people that if you said, you know who Jesus is in their language, they have no idea what you're talking about. They said, I don't know him. Does he live in the next village? Or I never heard of that place. Over 2 billion. So I live with readiness because I don't have my next breath guaranteed. Live with readiness to meet the Lord. But you better believe that this is just another birth pang and something that's going to be far, far, far more intense. Anyone that thinks this is the end, this is the final shaking, and Jesus is coming at any moment. Reread the book of Revelation a bunch of times on your knees. I think you'll change that perspective. Let us, we're here. Let's not be escapist in our thinking. We're here. If there is a time when God's going to pull us out, it's his business. But we're here, we are. Let's make a difference. Instead of playing an escape route, let's plan out an impact route. What can we do to bring about impact for the kingdom? Thank you for the call. Very much appreciate it. We go over to John in Michigan. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, how you doing, Dr. Brown?
Doing good, thank you.
Hey, I really appreciate you and been watching you for a little while now, seeing you and your association with Mike Bickle and IHOP, and I kind of got on to what you have been doing for a while, so appreciate your stand and your heart. The thing that I wanted to call it, that last caller is kind of a great segue. We kind of get a myopic view, I think, into the things that are happening to us locally when you've made this point quite a few times. People around the world have been suffering much greater things for quite a time now, and I really agree with that. And really, nationally, I see us like, it's the same pattern that we see in Deuteronomy 28 through 32, and there's a progression of judgments. And I think, you know, the Lord's just trying to wake us up. And I think on a bigger scale, if you look at it, step back, it's like a Joel 1 moment. You know, we're standing at the beginning of what's going to be, in my opinion, is going to be a devastating economic depression. That's going to be a global thing, and it's much like what Israel had experienced with the progression of 4 successive locust plagues, a drought, and then a fire. And Joel stands up in the midst of that and say, you know, you elders, everyone, have you ever seen anything like this? Has anything like this happened in your day? And it kind of points forward to a greater destruction coming, which was the Babylonian invasion. And I think this is God's heart to start to wake us up So we can start training the generations that are coming up now for the greater trouble that's ahead. And his heart's really for the younger generation.
Yeah, so and John, just to jump in, I appreciate you sharing that. Whatever shaking is going to come at the end of the world is far, 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 far more intense than this shaking. And I don't have a time frame. It could be in 100 years. Could be in 6 months. I don't have a time frame for it. I read the Bible same as you do. I study it same as you do. I know the teaching and the arguments and things on all sides. All I know is that the gospel's made for the hard times, and that the greater one lives inside of us, and that we are overcomers. And Paul says, will tribulation separate us from the love of God? No. Will death separate us from the love of God? No. So we don't know what will happen. But we know God's grace is sufficient. Let's be strong in the midst of it. Friends, if you don't have my book, When the World Stops, get it. Grab it. It just came out. Super relevant. Not just dealing with the virus. There's a whole chapter on how the gospel is made for the hard times. All right. We still have time. Vicki in Charlotte, thanks for joining us. What's on your mind? Hey, Vicki. I think if you turn down your radio, you'll realize you're on the air now. Hello, Vicki. Hello, Vicki.
Oh, hey, how you doing? This is Vicki.
Go ahead, Vicki.
Well, listen, I really, really appreciate the show and all the things I learned from it. And what I was wanting to comment on was, well, of course, I watched what was happening downtown in Charlotte on Friday night. I didn't watch it last night because I had church, so I couldn't watch it. But there's something larger that's happening than what we are seeing. I think that we have been infiltrated because we've never, ever had this kind of rioting and this kind of unrest all at the same time. And I think it's to destroy the country. They're using the racism thing to be able to do what they are doing.
Yep.
And that's what I believe. I think that also what, not that I agree with everything that Trump does, but Trump is trying to get people to understand that there are people who want, they hate America and they want to tear it down. So what's the best way to do it? Tear it down from the inside.
Yep.
And if from large city by large city. And that's what's going on. This is not just about the Floyd guy in Minnesota. This is about something else. It's a much larger than what we're seeing. And I agree with what you said and what the other people that called in, your friends that told you, this is something else.
Yeah, yeah. And Vicki, think of it. You live in Charlotte. Have you lived in Charlotte for a long time?
Yeah, I have. I'm from Waxhaw, but
yeah, okay. But you know, so your friends and your circle of people that you know, folks in your church, people in the neighborhood, mm-hmm. people that you work with over the years, they wouldn't be tearing down the city like this, would they?
Oh no, absolutely not. No, no, we
yeah, exactly.
Conservative.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, exactly. So the thing is, and then you look at something, it's like, where does this, how does this happen? This spontaneously? And people are somehow armed and ready to do this and that. So, yeah, there are others involved that want to stoke the fires. Listen, they do not have your best interest in mind. They do not have America's best interest in mind. Let's join together as Americans, especially as believers within America. Let's feel each other's pain. Let's stand for justice together. And that also means denouncing the violent riots as lawlessness, chaos, and from below, not from above. Back with you tomorrow.